You're listening to Marketplace Weekend. I'm Kimberly Adams in for Lizzie O'Leary. There's only one place we can start this week.
We have a basic responsibility to protect people's data. And if we can't do that, then we don't deserve to have the opportunity to serve people.
That's Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg saying mea culpa during an interview with CNN on Wednesday. The problem? The misuse of Facebook user data by Cambridge Analytica. The social media network has over 2 billion monthly active users worldwide, but it's not all sharing baby pictures and relationship status updates. Businesses of all sizes use Facebook for marketing purposes, like J.T. Santanzi, the owner of Off Kilter Kilts in Pasadena, California.
In my business, we use Facebook and other social media sites to basically keep in touch with our customers. It's a daily back and forth that we get to have. We're a small business, and we're kind of a niche business, so we don't have a lot of people, every day coming in, walking by, that kind of stuff. We have to rely on keeping our customers close, and social media is the way we get that done. When I saw the Facebook data breach, or not even a data breach, but more with the this is exactly how we meant it to be used, my first reaction actually was, I'm concerned that a number of people are going to drop off and the platform is going to become less useful. I maintain a business account, and all of the information on that account is things I want to be out there, I want people to know about, and so that specifically doesn't concern me about Facebook, but there needs to be people there for me to actually reach. I'm constantly looking now for what's going to be the heir to Facebook, like as Facebook was the heir to MySpace, and how am I going to reach the people who are coming up in 18 to 25 right now, who are already stepping away from Facebook, and how do I get my message out to them without alienating the people who are on Facebook? I couldn't even contemplate taking my business off of Facebook at the moment. It's probably close to about a fifth of my business overall, between people who use it to find me in the first place and then people who use it to, make their second or third purchase. I'd say, somewhere around 20, 25% of my business. When it comes to advertising and getting the message out specifically, social media is the only thing that a lot of small businesses have access to. The social media, even though their algorithms make it difficult for us to reach the people we're specifically targeting, we still reach more people than we would through anything else that we can actually afford.
Santanzi's not ready to cut the cord on Facebook. And really, as a business owner, is it feasible? Let's bring in Karen North. She's a clinical professor of communication at the University of Southern California. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
So how important is Facebook to businesses today?
I mean, traditionally over the past few years, Facebook for a lot of businesses has been a really essential tool to get the word out to customers and to raise awareness about their business. But, times are changing a bit now, and people are starting to be wary of the time and money they're spending on Facebook.
So before we get into some of that wariness and the concerns of business, what does it really take nowadays to build a brand on social media?
To build a brand on social media, people these days have to be smart, because the audience has now found little homes around the internet and places to hang out. And now the smart businesses have to find a way to reach people where they are. And let me just say that it used to be that people would go for information to one or two sources. And now what's happening is that people expect information to come to them. And Facebook was the first, really, to allow brands and businesses to contact people and to give them a heads up about products and services while they were, sort of enjoying their social world on Facebook. But Facebook has clamped down on that for financial reasons, and they're now making people pay for that kind of, visibility. And it's sort of made it harder for people already to, get the word out, which is why I think there's a bit of a pivot happening.
Well, and for all the effort it can take to make social media work for businesses and the money that it costs them, what's the return on investment?
If you do it well, there's a huge return. And I mean, this is, it gets very complicated. But in order to be effective with social media, the companies need to be very, you know, strategic about how they put things on social media. They have to come up with the right content for the right platform. So Facebook would be different than Twitter, which would be different than Instagram, which would be different than Reddit or Tumblr. And then they have to figure out how to target the right people to receive those messages, even within the platforms. So it's very complicated when you start that way. But if you do it right, there's no better way to target an audience or to find the right people or the likely customers than digital and social media. Because what we can do with digital and social media platforms is, and this is why it's in the news right now, is that they're all collecting data all the time, and they are allowing marketers and advertisers to find the right people by using the data to make sure that they have people with the right interests, the right demographics, the right passions, and the right needs, and serve up ads or messages to them so that they're likely to buy into what you're saying or to what you're selling.
But businesses are operating on the assumption that this data is okay for them to have. What can businesses do to address valid customer concerns about the potential misuse of data?
So there are two different things going on here. One is that what happened with, you know, for example, Cambridge Analytica is that they were allowed to collect data and take it to use themselves. And most businesses do not do that. In fact, very few do. They got in as researchers, even though they're not really researchers. And then, but what most businesses do is they buy advertising or they buy access from Facebook. So Facebook retains the data. They just allow the businesses or the marketing people to select the kinds of people that they want to send their messages to. That's not giving anybody data. It's just allowing people to refine and define who they want to talk to.
But you have this big consumer backlash happening now and in previous circumstances when people maybe recognized that Facebook had more information on them than they might be comfortable with. And consumers saying, you know what, we don't want all this information to be held by Facebook. If your marketing strategy is based on having access to that information, what does it mean for businesses when consumers say that's too much?
Yeah. So, I mean, for a long time now, people have just sort of ignored the privacy situation, and they are willing to give up a ton of personal information in order to have a good, engaging, fun experience on Facebook and other platforms. It's moments like this that remind people that everything they do on Facebook and other digital platforms is just providing data about themselves. So it's a really, you know, if you know, for Facebook, it's a really scary moment because their livelihood and their entire experience, the entire viability of Facebook depends on data collection, not just for use by businesses, but for their own use. Facebook takes the data that you provide and it curates an experience for you, you know, with the idea being that they want to curate an experience that will make you be excited and happy to be there, to return, to hang out there, and to engage with your friends there. And if without data, then they couldn't specialize each person's experience, and therefore it would be less engaging for people to be there. But to make money, they also sell those insights to marketing people so that they could contact you about products and services.
And so that might make the Facebook experience less desirable for users, but it might also make it less appealing to businesses.
Correct. A reduction in the use of data will make it less engaging to be on Facebook, and it will make it far less useful to spend money from your advertising or marketing budget to promote your business or your political policies.
So then if you're a business and you've already built a following or leaned into marketing on a platform like Facebook, how hard is it then to pivot?
Facebook has the advantage that you, and the others do to some extent, but Facebook really has an advantage that you can target your audience. You could find the people you want to find, and Facebook's the best at that. So pivoting would mean changing your approach and finding new avenues or new channels to broadcast. And people are already doing that. I mean, Instagram is owned by Facebook, but Instagram right now is much more of a go-to place, you know, for companies and for brands. And Pinterest, depending on what you have, you know, Pinterest has always been really successful and almost never talked about. you know, Twitter is great if you want to talk to influencers, but not if you want to talk to customers. So you can, but each one has its own personality. And for a business, you have to figure out what kind of message to put on each platform because they're all a different type of conversation.
So what does the future hold for brands on social media?
I think that brands need to become much more strategic in the way that they approach their customers. They need to figure out where to go and how to talk to people. I mean, there have been some really interesting efforts using things like YouTube. Like, for example, Coca-Cola has a YouTube TV show that people love watching. And it's, you know, it's a big promotion in a very subtle way for Coca-Cola. And it's one of the go-to examples of good advertising that's engaging content. I think that we need to realize that advertising and marketing today for brands, you know, needs to be quality content as if you're creating entertainment for people and then positioning it wherever it best fits its audience and its style. Whether it's beautiful photographs on Instagram or engaging videos on YouTube, they're very clever ways to engage an audience these days.
Karen North is a clinical professor of communication at the University of Southern California. Karen, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.